And welcome into hour number two. If you're just getting up and tuning us in, we're broadcasting from the Log Cabin in the historic Fountain Blue State Park in Mandeville. And boy, what a great place we've got. And check it out on the website. We've got some really wonderful places at state parks where you can go out and stay in cabins. A lot of fishing on some of these state park areas, and some of them are pretty close to management areas where you can do a little bit of hunting. Well, we got a lot to talk about the rest of the show. We got another hour to go. We're going to be getting some live reports from the duck blinds as this is the opening day of the second split. Also going to get a report from Jeff Rogers and Kevin Peel. They're up at the Sanctuary in Poplarville, Mississippi. Give us a little bit of a, I'm sorry, Poplarville, Woodville. I get the Villes mixed up. Sanctuary, a wonderful place up there. He'll tell us a little bit about it and what they're seeing as far as deer movement. Good place to study animal behavior there. Also, we've got a discussion on chronic wasting disease. We'll be talking about that. And yes, of course, we never do a show without a couple of bad boys of the outdoors, and we've got some of those for you. Also, I got text messages coming in from Roland Cortez. He's one of our field reporters. He's up in Stuttgart, Arkansas. I wonder if he knows Tofield Bourgeois and Ginger are headed up that way. Hi, the women and children. They're on their way up there. Hearing from, this is another Justin, not the Chili Gentilly Justin. This one says, heading into work instead of the duck blind. I know the feeling. But he's going to be duck hunting tomorrow. Well, be tuned in because we got some duck reports coming in. You can kind of know what to expect. All right, we're also hearing again from Pinball from Marrero. He's chasing deer in Ponchatoula. Wish me luck. Well, you're not going to need luck the closer we get. I'm going to tell you, in that area, next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday are going to be prime hunting days. Rut is going to be in, and you got a full moon. On Friday, I believe, is the full moon. So peak deer movement. If you get a little bit of weather, that would be the time to be out there, and they'll stop that nocturnal stuff because I know that goes on in that area. All right, we're hearing from Bradley. He and Rachel been on the Sockalay out of Jack Miller's all week. Headed back again today. You got to stay on them while they cooperate. Can't argue with that. Here's one from our friend Ann the Tomato Lady. Listen to this. She's planning Christmas lunch. Roasted duck, smothered turkey necks, deer roast, spicy redfish soup, oysters on the half shell, and, of course, tomato salad. And Merry Christmas to you, Tomato Lady. It sounds good. You're making me hungry. I've actually got a venison-stuffed backstrap called a Cajun po' boy up here today I'm cooking, and also some Billy's Boudin bread, among many other things that we'll be dining on here up at the log cabin. Kind of a little pre-Christmas party going on. All right. Also, I'm hearing, let's see. I mentioned about announcement on Bayou Wild, and someone wants to know when and where does Bayou Wild come on TV in Baton Rouge. I would like to DVR it. Well, I'm happy to announce that Bayou Wild, of course, it's on Cox Sports TV, and that's on Sundays at 7 p.m. tomorrow night, and on Thursdays at 7 p.m. it runs prime time. We also have some bonus runs. You might catch it on pretty much any day of the week, any time. Just have to check the listings on Cox Sports. But we're going to be starting on WBRZ Channel 2, 6:30 Saturday mornings. The first run will be coming up in a couple of weeks, January 5th, and then you can watch it on Sundays on their Plus stations, WBRZ Plus 2.2. And also the Fish and Game Report. You'll catch it on their 10 o'clock newscast on Thursday nights, every Thursday night on WBRZ. Happy to be joining forces with them and expanding the networking of our program. Of course, you can always watch it on YouTube, and that's where you can go. Just go to our website, BayouWildTV.com, and you'll find out a lot more about the program. And we'll be starting our second year, and first year was a lot of fun. Co-hosted with Martha Spencer. In fact, this Monday we're going to be taping. We tape at Morton's Restaurant on the banks of the Chifuncta River in Madisonville. We get there around lunchtime and invite you to come by, have lunch, and talk a little bit of fishing while we tape the show. And by the way, when you're there at Morton's, you need to ask about Fishin' Frankie's homemade hoghead cheese. It may be the best I've ever had. So if you'd like to come by and say hello, Morton's Restaurant. And you can call them and check with them and find out our schedule. We're usually there taping at least twice each month on Mondays around lunchtime. All right, coming back right after this, we continue with our fishing reports. Captain Mike Gallo, Angling Adventures of Louisiana, he reports on the Pontchartrain, Bourne, Chef area, the place they call the Wall, the Mystigo, Intercoastal Waterway. He has a boat and he travels. He covers a lot of ground. Back with his report right after this time out. You are listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. Mark, according to our text board, we had a lot of people out there duck and deer hunting this morning, and that's going to continue on through the holiday season. That's a prime time to get out there. Oh, but you can't forget fishing. We got fishing reports, including a report each week from Mike Gallo, which is brought to you by Seato. And I got to tell you, as far as Christmas gifts go, I don't know if you could give a more meaningful or more appreciated gift than a subscription or membership to Seato. That's the company that comes into the rescue wherever you need them, whenever you need them, no matter what you need. If it's a tow-in, a jump start with a battery problem, even if you run out of fuel, check them out. Seato.com, or easier than that, call Captain Chris. You can get a gift certificate. Just tell them who the loved one is that you want to make sure they're safe when they're out there and have peace of mind for both you and the boater. Call Captain Chris, 504-301-4545. That's 301-4545. Mike Gallo joins us now. And, Mike, has your trip been scuttled for today, or are you on?
No, my trip for today has definitely been scuttled.
Well, that's been a trend on these weekends lately, huh? Seemed like the weekends got bad or worse weather.
It does seem that way. I had a group coming down going to fish Friday and Saturday. And when Friday was – today's doable. It's not quite as bad as yesterday, but – they decided they'd rather just push it on into the spring of next year. So we'll be seeing them in the latter part of April next year.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you were to go today, would maybe that spot where you and I fished last time, Lakeshore Estates, back in there? I had a fisherman send me some pictures. He shall remain unnamed, but he pretty much mirrored what we caught. You know, some speckled trout, some pretty nice ones, and a couple redfish, and then also some of those blue cats.
Yeah, they've been in those areas for quite a bit. I've made a few trips in there since you and I have been in there. One thing I thought was interesting, I caught a couple of nice bass, and boy, they were full of shrimp. So, and I could see the submerged grass along the shorelines, and that's where the bass came from. So it's obvious the shrimp are still hiding and hanging out in that grass. So I switched over to weedless. I just rigged like a bass fisherman would a plastic worm. I used a light-colored worm so that it, you know, would resemble a pogey or a mullet or even a white shrimp. And that seemed to help me quite a bit. The majority of my fish came from those grass beds the last time I did that style of fishing in Lakeshore. But earlier this week when I went out, you know, you put the boat in the water, and one of the first things I want to do is get the depth finder turned on and see what the water temperature was. Tuesday, Wednesday time frame, water temperature was in the high 40s, 49. So I decided too cold to even give trout a try. We just ran straight towards the wall. And right, if you're traveling in the intercoastal waterway going towards the wall, right when you pass Bayou Thomas, the water temperature will start to rise. It's interesting to watch. The Lake Pontchartrain area is colder water, and that water comes through the Wrigley's and the Chef, and some of it goes down the intercoastal and exits through Bayou Thomas into Lake Bourne. And all that water's right around, 49 or 50 degrees. Right when you go past Bayou Thomas heading towards the wall, it starts to creep up. And when we get to the wall area, it's 52.8. 53, somewhere in that area, and the fish were much more aggressive. Seems like a little, only 3 degrees difference, but make a huge difference in whether the fish is going to feed or not. So my last couple
of
trips.
Yeah, a lot of people. Go ahead. I was just going to say that a lot of people don't pay much attention to water temperature, but they really should, because those fish find a comfort zone, a level, and it, even though, like you say, it's 1 or 2 degrees, makes a huge difference.
Yeah, it does. My last several trips have been down by the wall area, shrimp on the bottom, if you can find live shrimp, and most of the local marinas have live shrimp. Lake Catherine's been having good numbers of nice, lively shrimp for me. But the plastics have worked just as well. You know the routine. I like to get at least 2 out of my 3 anglers fishing live bait, and we get the other one mixed in with some plastic. We can make the live bait last longer. And we're still averaging between 30 and 40 fish. sometimes you get into a bunch of small ones. We got into some small ones where we caught 10 to keep one, but it was late in the day and we only had a few shrimp left, so we just kind of stuck with it. I did also catch two flounder. One was about 12 inches long. We released. The other one was about 16 inches long, and it came back home with us.
Well, that's good that that's flounder showing up. It's, they've kind of been on the scarce side for most of this year. Yeah, that wall is, you know, it's not, it's fairly recent, and, you know, people are still learning how to fish it. And it's got its own little idiosyncrasies about where the fish are located. Sometimes they're up tight to it. Sometimes they're off a ways. Sometimes they're in the corner. You know, and you fish it a lot, so, you know, and I'm sure that's going to be one of your go-to spots all this winter.
Yeah, it's protected water. You know, once I get to the intercoastal waterway, it's protected water all the way down to the wall. And once you get there, there's a good 20 different spots that you could fish within a three-mile area. You wouldn't have to go very far. Deep water averages about 35 feet in the Mystico, so it holds the little bit of heat that it has longer than Lake Pontchartrain does. Lake Pontchartrain probably averages anywhere from 12 to 14 feet of water. And this time of year when the water can be low, it might be even 10 to 12 feet of water. So it cools down a little quicker than the depth of the Mystico. It holds that heat. And like we said earlier, that 2 or 3 degree difference in temperature makes a huge difference when it comes to how aggressive the trout are.
Absolutely. Mike, for people out of area that want to give a gift certificate of a fishing trip, can they also get lodging along with their trip at the Spots and Dots Lakehouse Lodge by calling you?
Oh, sure. I printed up the gift certificate last night, and we'll be stopping by the post office to send it out. A gentleman from Seattle is purchasing a trip for his parents to go fishing.
Wow, what a great gift.
Yeah, so we got it printed up for him, and it's in an envelope, and I'll be putting it in the mail in the morning. So very simple to do. I guess we are getting a little short on time to make sure that the mail gets it to the recipient, but we still can print them up pretty quickly and get them out. So I guess there's a couple of days left to get that done if someone wanted to do that.
All right, they can go to my site and find you there. They can go to your site, aaofla.com, and if they want to use that telephone line, call you on the business line, that'd probably be the quickest and easiest way.
Yep, you can find me at 985-781-7811.
All right, Mike, thank you. Sorry you had to cancel your trips, but I know you'll be back at it pretty soon, and as we head into the big Christmas season, I know it's a busy time for everybody. Thanks for the report, as always. We appreciate it.
All righty, Don. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, Captain Mike Gallo, one of our field reporters. Another field reporter is Brendan Bayard. Now, he's of a little different nature because he fishes from a kayak pretty much exclusively. I think he might probably does some bay boat fishing too, but he loves that kayak fishing. Going to update us on that big win by Steve Lessard in that tournament and also kind of give us a lowdown on what the situation is. If you're going to be fishing during the holidays from a kayak, some places to go and what to do. It's the Paddler's Report, Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club. Up next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Yeah, we got a lot of strokers in Louisiana stroking their canoes and pirogues and kayaks after the fish, and sometimes the ducks. And this report is brought to you by the Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club and Massey's Outfitters. You're going to find them in Mid-City, New Orleans, Metairie, Covington, Baton Rouge, and they've got the best fishing models from kayaks and brands like Hobie, Jackson Kayak, and Native Watercraft. You can check it all out on their website at Massey Outfitters, that's M-A-S-S-E-Y, outfitters.com, or check them out on Facebook. Brendan Bayard is one of our reporters, and Brendan, good morning. Let's go back to last weekend. Steve Lessard, he's got to be the Drew Brees of kayakers, huh?
Oh, yeah. He has a gift. It was apparent last weekend, and it is continually shown to us mortals to get the privilege to fish with him sometimes. And the weather certainly was interesting last week. We had, solid rain pretty much the whole day, and then some heavy winds. And then the guys got together and the club just kind of organized, as their leadership and made the tournament a little bit shorter, so 6 to 11, and just because there looked like a big portion of the rain was going to hit extremely hard at that time. And so being a good fisherman and adjusting his plan, he stuck to just the two redfish, went out there and got himself two really nice hammer reds, you know, seven and a half pounds a piece, you know, in short notice, and won the tournament as well as Angler of the Year. And some other interesting news, this week they announced the new home for the Hobie Fishing Worlds, which is the tournament that we went to last year in Sweden. This year it's going to be in Gold Coast, Australia. So Steve can definitely look forward to doing that. I'm sure that'll be for black bream, which is kind of a species that's slow to grow and very smart in Australia in the coastal waters. And it kind of resembles our sheephead, but they're very finicky, and you kind of have to do a finesse type fishing for them.
Well, if anybody can figure them out, Steve will. There's no problem
about
that. Well, tell us about closer to home. What's going on? Boy, weather has not been good lately.
Yeah, it's that time of year that it really helps a lot if you can take off, you know, pick your days that you want to fish. You know, we've been in a time recently where the weekend has not been as good as like during the week, and you know, maybe there's one or two days a week that really look good, and then the other days are kind of, you know, go if you got to go kind of days. But you know, sometimes you get lucky, and depending on what day you're dealt, you can make things happen. My advice for the days where it's super cold is to fish in those deeper dead end ponds, the pumping stations, the dead-end canals, the old oil-filled canals, some of the borrow pits, those kind of areas, the areas around like the dam, the Great Wall, those kind of areas. And then on those rare occasions where days are lined up warm and, you know, several days in a row, then you can hit the flats, you know, oyster flats or something, and go catch yourself some big trout. Those are my favorite days, of course, but you got to get lucky to get one of them.
For sure. Any other place of note that might be standing out, you know, for somebody to get out this weekend or during these Christmas holidays?
Just running through the spots. Big Lake, if you're heading over to Big Lake and you were going to go maybe this weekend, I might stick to the LNG Canal, which is kind of the cold water area to fish over there. That's right by Calcasieu Point Landing. You just launch at the landing and you head east and you're at that big giant dead end, and you can fish in that thing all day. It's plenty big for a lot of people. Always lots of fish in there in the winter. A rule of thumb, I always fish north of Commissary Point in Big Lake during the winter. Basically that whole stretch between Commissary Point, Turner's Bay, Crab Lady, all those areas are the good wade kind of spots during the winter that I like to fish from a kayak. There's a lot of spots out there, but that just usually seems to work out pretty good for me. Heading out to Leeville, if you find one of those warm days, you can head out to to those bays near Topwater Marina and fish a lot of the oyster and the bigger bays over there, the oyster flats. If it's one of those cold days, you those pumping stations around Basons and Golden Meadow, the borrow pits on LA1 over there by Thunder Bayou. Thunder Bayou kind of snakes around a giant hole that's about 30 feet deep. All those kind of places hold trout when it gets really cold.
All right, all sounds good. Brendan, before you go, give me a stocking stuffer item for a kayak. If somebody's got a kayaker on their shopping list and they want to get something not too expensive, what would you suggest? What's a good little item?
Those little boomerang line clips are one of my favorites. They make all these little batteries and stuff nowadays, these lithium batteries to power your stuff. It would have really been helpful for me last weekend. I showed up to that tournament. It's a cold weather tournament. My battery wasn't working. I was kind of SOL, but you just kind of make it happen. But if I would have had a nice little backup battery system, that would have been pretty sweet to have.
Well, let's hope somebody's taking the hint that's listening. Brendan, thanks for the report as always, and Merry Christmas to you. We'll be talking to you after Christmas on your next report, and have some fun in the meantime.
All right, you too, sir. Merry Christmas. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Brendan Bayard, one of our field reporters for the Paddlers Report. All right, coming back after this, I'm going to update you on last month's final results on our opinion poll. A little bit surprising, tell you about this month's opinion poll. And, yes, we do have bad boys. We go to Assumption Parish to tell you their story right after this time out on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. If you visit my website, DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com, you're going to find recipes, radio photographs, stories, lots of information there. But we also have a monthly outdoor opinion poll. We ask you to weigh in along with your fellow listeners on certain subjects. And last month it was on the topic of wild game. And we asked if you could only have one type of wild game to cook, what would it be? And not surprisingly, 57%, the overwhelming majority, said it would be venison and caribou, elk, the large big game. But what was surprising was number two was rabbit and squirrel. And it was a four-way tie between feral hog, wild turkey, upland birds, including quail, dove, pheasant, and then also waterfowl. I would have thought one of those would have edged out rabbit and squirrel, but still that continues to be a popular wild game dish. All right, when we come back after this short 10-second station identification pause, it's Bad Boys time. We go to Assumption Parish to tell you the story of their crime and their time right here after we let our local stations identify themselves on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Well, back on the night of December 5th, Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries agents on patrol in Assumption Parish observed two men using a light while actively hunting a field near Labadeville around 2 a.m. The agents made contact and found them in possession of two rifles, a six-point deer, and a rabbit. Those three carcasses, as well as the two rifles, were confiscated. The agents then cited Talbot Daniels, 18, of Baton Rouge, and Alex Maybills, 27, of Albany, for hunting wild quadrupeds, that is a four-legged animal, during illegal hours. Agents also cited Talbot for hunting without a resident or a big game license, failing to comply with the mandatory deer tagging program, possession of an illegally taken deer, failing to comply with hunter education requirements. Yeah, that one he really should have taken care of. Might not have been in so much trouble. And possession of an untagged deer, which, if convicted, could result in maximum fines and sentences of $2,450 plus another $1,624 civil restitution replacement value, making a grand total of $4,074 plus a possible 120 days in jail for 18-year-old Talbot Daniels of Baton Rouge and 27-year-old Alex Maybill of Albany, Louisiana, our bad boys of the outdoors. You know, there's a message in this to young deer hunters, and I know deer have become so nocturnal in a lot of our areas, it makes it hard. But if you're not interested in the ethics of hunting, at least realize the high cost of getting caught, not to mention the shame of being one of this radio show's Bad Boys of the Outdoors. By the way, we're 2 weeks away from our Bad Boy of the Year, the baddest of the bad. We do that each year in the final show of the year. We let you, the audience, we'll give you the contestants, you cast your vote, and tell us who is the baddest bad boy of the year for 2018. A lot of fun with that. We're coming back after this, if we can get Ryan Lambert. See if he's back from Old Mexico. He's been doing some duck hunting there. Opening day of the second split here. I would say he's down there in Buras getting ready to whack some ducks, as he says it. We'll be right back after this time out on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque. Well, he's not using plastic today, I'm sure. He's probably using tungsten or steel or some other composite of a non-toxic shot because it's the opening day of the second split of duck season and things are probably booming down. Yeah, we can hear him quacking down there in Cajun Fishing Adventures where they also hunt ducks. Captain Ryan, what's it look like down there on this opening day of the second split?
West wind, about 15 or so. Had tons of birds yesterday. I'm not seeing much this morning. You know, everybody come running around. You know how it is.
But, yeah, what's the tide situation?
It didn't go down too bad like it was. High tide was at 2 o'clock this morning, so we have water. You know, even with the west wind, we have water. So low tide about 1:30 this evening, so we'll be all right. We'll be done and fishing by then.
Mm-hmm. The reports from the flyover from Wildlife and Fisheries indicated still, you know, below average numbers all across the southeast part of the state, but an uptick in the number of divers. Are you seeing that? Is that reflected?
Canvasbacks and redheads. Yeah, we had a good bit more canvasbacks and redheads than we had. All the birds were in the marsh, so it's sort of deceptive. Everybody said, oh, we're covered up in birds. But those birds are not in open bays. After today, they'll be back in open bay with the pressure. So it's a little deceptive on how many birds we have because they're in the marsh and everybody saw them because they had 2 weeks of rest. But I don't think the numbers are up that much. But again, there's a lot more redheads and canvasback, which behooves us because we hunt open water a good bit.
Yeah. When you're decoying and calling divers as opposed to the dabblers, you know, and a lot of people are going to be hearing these reports and seeing these birds in their area and they're not going to be prepared to hunt them. What changes do you do when you're hunting divers as opposed to the dabbling ducks?
You want to put out more decoys first. And then, you know, I'll highball them, get them, and then I'll use a call for them. You know, it's a different call. It's like a grunt, you know, like that. And, you know, we hunt those a lot in Mexico. I just got back from there, so I've been killing a lot of redheads.
And as far as your decoy setup, any different than the way you set up for dabbling ducks?
No. You know, you can put them in a V, and they'll come right to the middle of it if you got the wind right. And you can set up that way to help you out. But you need more decoys. You need, you know, they're gregarious birds, and they like big spreads. So you want to put lots of pool dew and some diving decoys, and just put plenty of decoys. You'll be fine. Watch this one right here, guys. Coming over the backside. Okay? Well, just gonna dive, Bob. I don't think he's coming. I think some of the boys at Littlewater, Cody, and the guys on the old lease are going to do well. I'm open water, so if I'm not getting on them, I'll just move blinds after they finish up. But there was a lot of birds inside in the duck potatoes yesterday while we were setting everything up. And the fish off the chart, we had 35 feet. Watch it. Landed outside the decoys. Don't you hate when that happens?
Oh, I bet it was a gray duck, too. They're famous.
No, it's a widget, but he landed right outside the decoys. It's like
he
knows.
First cousin. Yeah, I had a texter wanted to know about fishing reports in Point Lahash. You started to say y'all did pretty good yesterday.
Oh, my gosh. The last 2 days with 35 people, by 8:30, they were done. Redfish. Now, we were catching a lot of trout until this wind started up, and then we got it to where we couldn't get on them as well. But the redfish have been off the charts. So,
well, it's been all year, you know. I think when we put 2018 away in a week or two, that's what will be said. That's what we'll remember about the year of 2018. It was the year of the redfish, no doubt about it. And good thing we had them.
Yeah, you're right about that. But the water cleared up, and we whacked the trout for a few days there before the wind came back up. And I'm sure they're still there. As soon as it settles down, we'll be back on them. They were pretty trout, too.
And what were y'all catching those reds on?
You know, the boys are throwing shrimp, all of them. I throw that trout trick myself. And if the water's too dirty, if I'm fishing east, I'll throw some gulp or something. But that's about as far as I'll go off of plastic. You know that.
Do I know it? All right, look, we're going to let you get to work there. We're going to probably get back to you in the next hour after the sun gets up good. And, well, I don't know if we're going to see the sun. You got cloudy conditions down there?
No, it's partly cloudy at best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we'll see the sun.
Well, we'll get back with you and check out. Yeah. Give us that, in case somebody wants to give you a call or book a trip or get one as a Christmas gift, the easiest way to do it.
Yeah, they can go to CajunFishingAdventures.com and, check out the operation. Or if they want to get a gift certificate, they can call the office at 985-785-9833.
All right. Sounds good. Keep on quacking.
All right, buddy.
We'll catch up with you later. Ryan Lambert down at Cajun Fishing Adventures. They're in the duck blinds today down there. Probably got the whole crew down there duck hunting on this opening day of the second split. All right, we got a report coming up from a place in Woodville, Mississippi, known as the Sanctuary. Jeff Rogers joins us next right here on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, about this time, in fact, the year to date, we were in, when I say we, Martha Spencer, Chris LeCocq, and I, we were filming one of our early Bayou Wild TV shows up in Woodville, Mississippi at a place called The Sanctuary. And in addition to a successful hunt and spending some time with some great folks and some breathtaking scenery up there, we awoke the next morning to what had been the result of an overnight snowstorm. I call it a snowstorm. People up north might not, but the whole place was flocked in white. It was gorgeous, and it was a great weekend. And you can see that show that we taped called Hunting in the Sanctuary on BayouWildTV.com. You can go back and watch any of our programs. The owner there is Jeff Rogers. We got it on the screen a little backwards there. But Jeff is also the owner of Cajun Encounters, a wonderful swamp tour company in the Slidell Pearl River area. And he joins us now to tell us what's going on up at the sanctuary. Jeff, what can you tell us about deer and elk movement lately?
Good morning, Don. How you doing this morning?
Doing great.
I'm sitting here with your old buddy Kevin, and I was just glad to not hear his name on your Bad Boys report. Yeah, Don, I gotta tell you, Don, I think the wife and kids are listening this morning, so I appreciate you not putting me on blast with the Bad Boys report. I owe you 20
on
that.
Oh, you'll never make the Bad Boys. You're too good of a guy, man. You never do that. Don't have to worry about that.
All right. So, yeah, the last few weekends have been a little tough because we caught the weather off. We had these great cold fronts that come through Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and on the weekends it's been a little warm. This is the first weekend, I guess, in the last three weekends as – that's going to be decent. Highs are in the 50s, lows are in the 40s. We've had a bumper crop of acorns this year, which, as you know, in the beginning of the season makes it a little difficult to have these deer walking out to the green fields. So, but it's been good overall. We've killed a lot of whitetails. We have not killed any bull elk this year. They went through rut through mid-October, and they've been pretty quiet, and they're just starting to come out. So that should pick up here within the next week or so.
How's the rut progressing?
The whitetail, the bucks are just starting to sniff around. They're doing a little chasing. I think here within the next week to 2 weeks, it's going to be on. It's usually the week of Christmas is the date that we consider rut.
Yeah.
So
would you say, Jeff, I'll tell you, Don, one thing we've seen is we thought we saw a little earlier activity up here than normal, but it's just been lingering, and they haven't gotten into that full rut yet. So we thought we were going to be a week or two early in this area, and I saw a couple other reports leading the same thing, and they just have not fully engaged yet. So it might be closer to that Christmas just point.
Yeah, well, it's coming, and boy, that's a fun time to be up there when that's going on. Kevin, now you do some duck hunting around the Monroe area, northeast Louisiana. Has it been sporadic as it's been most of the other parts of the state?
Man, I'm going to tell you, Don, that's spot on. The ducks are there one morning, or you go set your decoys that evening, you show up the next morning, they're gone. The difference on the second split, well, look, the back end of the first split, pretty good. A lot of gavel, a lot of teal. But again, hit and miss. Now everything's changed up there. We had a lot of water come over here in the past 2 weeks. So there's a lot of water in a lot of spots. So it should be interesting. A little early for some reports right now. My son Matthew and then we've got old Martin up there. They're in the blinds. I'll have a report here pretty early. I'll text it to you. They feel pretty confident in putting the decoys out. Had a pretty good hunt off the speckle bellies earlier than normal this year. Haven't seen too many in the past week or two, so it should be interesting. I tell you what, everyone's pretty fired up to get back out there and get on those ducks, though, man. 2 weeks, a long time.
Yeah. Well, it's that time of the year for it, too. Jeff, if you would, tell us what's available for the public up there at the sanctuary.
Well, we have, like I said, the elk are just starting to really turn on. We still have some weekends open for whitetail elk. The crappie, as I know you're interested in, Don, they just turned on last weekend. They usually start around Thanksgiving, but it's been a little slow as well. But they just turned on last week. We caught a couple dozen crappie last week. We plan on heading out there this morning.
What's a crappie?
A little white bird.
The heck, I don't know what happened to my old buddy, man. I don't know if he went up there and been hanging out with Bourgeois up there in Illinois. Don't call him a crappie.
Oh, yeah, we got to get our nomenclature correct here. Whatever you, sockeye, white perch, crappie, whatever. Well, Jeff, how can somebody contact you and find out more information about it?
They can contact us through the sanctuarylodgems.com or can call 985-502-3199.
Well, wait, I just got a vote cast for the Bad Boy of the Year, the Baddest of the Year, Kevin Peel. I just had a nomination for him.
You got my vote on that.
You second that one, Jeff? Guys, I know y'all trying to have a good time up there. Try hard. I know it's difficult to enjoy things up at the sanctuary, but y'all try your best.
We got y'all coming out here, I think, in the beginning of January. So we're looking forward
to it. Yeah, we're really looking forward to it. Yes, indeed. Y'all have a very Merry Christmas and a safe holiday up there.
Same to you, Don.
All right, Big Don. Love you, man.
Okay, brother. Kevin Peel and Jeff Rogers up at the sanctuary. Well, I wish I was there. All right. Well, I'm not there. I'm at the log cabin now. But we got 2 more hours to go on More Outdoors. You know, Alabama, you Alabama listeners, stick with us. And you can listen to it by going to my website at DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com. And there's a click button there, and you can hear the next 2-hour program. The Enforcement Division of Alabama is writing some citations for violations of those deer carcass regulations that were put into place. Also, Jonathan Bordelon from Louisiana Wildlife and Fisheries is going to join us to give us the latest. He has just been to a conference where it was discussed, and see if there's any more stringent action going to be taken to safeguard our deer population in Louisiana. It's all around us. Plus, Hunt Fish Talk. We'll talk with outdoor writers Keith Lusher and also the president of Louisiana Outdoor Writer Association, Wendy Billiott, about CWD. Some people, and I have talked to other states, they don't take it seriously at all. And we're asking you to cast your vote on our outdoor opinion poll. That's also on my website at DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com. Well, we'll see you again next week. We say goodbye to our affiliate station. Thank you for carrying the program. It'll be our Christmas edition of the show next Saturday morning. Hope you'll join us right here on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network.